from the archives of the greatest dramas in radio history, we proudly present Hollywood. The Radio Theater, starring Charles Coburn, Tom Drake, Beverly Tyler, Jim Sherman, and Dean Stockwell in The Green Years. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. William Keeley. Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, another MGM picture. An outstanding favorite is being presented on the stage. A thrilling drama that will live forever in our hearts. It's A.J. Cronin's masterpiece, The Green Years. And we are fortunate indeed in bringing you the original motion picture cast. Charles Coburn, Tom Drake, Beverly Tyler, Jim Cronin, and Dean Stockwell. It's curtain time, and here's the play millions of you hope to see, The Green Years. Starring Charles Coburn as Grandfather Gow, Tom Drake as Roby, Beverly Tyler as Allison, Jim Cronin as Mr. Lucky, with Dean Stockwell as the boy Roby. In the year 1900, Robert Shannon, orphan, aged 9 years, journeyed from Ireland to the town of Loganford in Scotland, there to make his new home with Mr. and Mrs. Lucky, the parents of his dead mother.
You're late, Mama. Supper's waiting.
I'm sorry, James. The lad's train was late.
I suppose you spent good money on the cab?
No, we booked. Well, look up, Robbie. This is your grandfather.
Robert, no one regrets more than I that we meet under these circumstances. You call me Papa rather than Grandpa. We have one Grandpa in the house already.
He's my father, Robbie. Grandpa Gow. Now, this is Kate, dear, your aunt. Don't look so sorrowful, dear. This is Miss Smith.
And this is your Uncle Murdoch.
I hope you like it here, Robbie.
Thank you.
Our other son, Adam, lives in London. A very successful insurance broker, Robert.
Oh, it's hard for you, boy, coming to know us all at once.
You'll feel better after supper. Sit down. Oh, Heavenly Father, you've blessed me with this new responsibility, my grandson, Robert. You know, Lord, how his mother deceived me and married a wild, irresponsible Irishman. Not even of the faith of his household. Help me to carry this extra burden and deliver him from deceit, wild ways, and extravagance. Amen. Pass your plate. Boy has no belongings, Mama?
Nothing. Only a tricycle coming from Dublin to carry it.
A tricycle?
Mm.
That improvident Irishman. Oh, that a daughter of mine had run off with a man who leaves nothing but a tricycle.
What?
Well, he's a boy, then, eh? Speaking, today's Friday. The boy's not of our faith, Papa. Oh. Oh.
It's too strong, not hungry.
I'll take your meat, then. Waste not, want not. Where will you be sending Roby to school, Papa? It's the elementary, of course.
That is the truth. Oh, Daddy, if I have to teach
him. I hear no reflections, Kate, on a school that pays you 16 shillings a week.
Why can't he go to the academy?
The laddie comes to us with no money.
But it's
a thing,
Mr.
Christian.
You don't want to be a
sister, 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 sister,
sister,
sister, sister, sister, sister, sister, sister,
sister, sister, sister, sister, sister, sister, sister, sister, sister, sister, sister, sister, sister, sister, sister, sister, sister, sister.
My mother pays good money for her room. She'll be home tomorrow, and you know she dislikes surprises.
Just let this room for Gow then, Robbie. Get a bad boy. In the last room at the end of the hall.
So you'll be Robert Kennedy. Well, there could be more of you.
Yes, Kendra.
The pity you don't have my hair. Your mother had my hair. You were lucky. If there's one thing I cannot abide, it's a crying lady. Well, what might do they want?
That's what I was just thinking.
Don't sit with me. Well, is it your expectation to sleep with your clothes on? Go on, dear. Look at me, laddie. I will need a friend in this house. It's all right, boy. It's all right. Come along, Robbie. It's a fine bright morning, and I'm taking you with me to my lawyer. On business.
Did you say that?
Aye. I'm off to see my lawyer.
Can you take it, please?
You don't know. You don't touch it.
I can't. Papa says he can't say it.
What's that?
He says he has to instead of me.
Someday, Robbie, I shall take this and let you in these two hands of mine and I shall...
Oh,
Mrs. Mrs. Boudinot. What a picture you make, madam. The sun shining like golden hot springs through your radiant hair. Have you had the honor of meeting my great-grandson, Robert?
Robert? Your grandpa's a prince.
And who wouldn't be the privilege to greet this lovely into the morning?
Love
for the candy time. Take my advice, Robbie. Enjoy the lady. A human race is better half.
Come in, Dundee.
Come in. I'll do about a minute, Robbie. Sit down there.
Yes,
I gave you a quick document copy, Dundee Gull. Are they ready?
They are, Mr. Mercalli. Sir, here we are.
That's lovely coffee and fair cup of tea, too.
It's a pity you couldn't have done such a job on your first, Dundee Gull, as you have on your handwriting. But I'll credit this work for the rest.
Could you be letting me have, say, perhaps half a crown, sir?
And what did I tell your son-in-law, Mr. Lucky? You know the arrangement. The money I pay you to copy my legal paper goes to pay the premium on your life insurance.
Perhaps it's true.
I see for you, Dandy. Demon will run. Nope, not a penny. No out of it.
Robbie, come here. Lad, this is Mr. McKellar. As fine and generous a man as you'll ever know. May I present my great grandson,
Robert? If you're ever in trouble, and heaven help us, you probably will be, why, you'll know who to come to.
Thank you, sir.
Dundee, I find there's a little item of half a crown due you after all.
Here you are. It is a trivial matter, lawyer. Thank you, sir, and good day.
Goodbye, Robert.
Goodbye, Mr. McKellar.
That's strange. I never noticed that establishment before.
What's that reason, sir?
Across the street there. What does that sign say, laddie?
The Green Gull. You don't know.
Oh, bless me, bless me. Obviously a place of refreshment. How would you like a nice glass of bubbling lemonade?
Thank you, Chanty.
Excellent. I'll fetch you one. And then you can play. Yonder's the village green, see?
Aye, there's a lucky boy. Lemonade and lassie. What's more to do?
Hello. Hello.
What
are you doing? I'm waiting for my cousin. I'm going to see my grandpa. What's your name? Robert Sam. I'm new here. I'm all for good. What are you going to do with me there? I don't know. Do you? Of course. I'm going to marry a fine man. We have many fine children. Oh, where's my cousin now?
Where's
your boy? This is your boy. He's my cousin.
What's your little angel up?
It's really scary.
Oh, you're talking, aren't you?
Yes.
Come on, Allison. Keep talking.
But that's all right.
I said, come on. You'll take some for that.
Did you have a nice time on the green, lad?
Yes, thank you.
Real laddie? What are you thinking about?
Nothing. Where did you get that big red nose?
No, big red nose. Boy, did you never hear of the Zulu War?
Thank you. I can't see.
Well, boy, I'm not the one to brag. But there we were, cut off in the jungle by the savage hordes of Zulus. Someone had to get a message through the relief column. I'll carry it, sir, right? I took the revolver in his hand and a knife in the tooth. Quietly, I crawled across the rocky belt. The jungle, that is. I was almost through the enemy line when they charged upon me by the score. I fired. Bam, 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 bam. Screaming, the savages fell back. But how long could the ammunition hold out? I flashed over the knife. Zip, zip, zip. Pop, he fired up a button. But the Zulus still came. And then... Oh, then a sweet sight. Out of the dark of the night came running my great white charger, Athena. I leaped on her back. The Zulus gave chase. Strikes of poison arrows darkened the air. I was wounded. I clung to my heart. Oh, that magnificent animal. He carried me to the relief column. Taken, bleeding, breathless. I fell into their arms with my message. The flag was saved. They seemed to think so when the queen, God bless her, decorated me at Balmoral Castle.
But, Father, how did you get to see your
a poison spear, lad, a direct hook.
Oh, how wonderful. Where can you go?
Some other day, laddie. And there will be others. It's you and me together, my boy, in whatever the difficulties.
Yes, Grandpa.
And we're in difficulties at this very moment.
Yeah?
Look up the street, Robbie. Your grandma Lightning's come home.
Let me try and fall into the clutches of that horrible old man.
Ah, here you go. Come in, Robbie. Come in and be seen by your grandma Letty.
You'll now be in the hands of a good Christian woman. So come to your grandma, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at his clothes. Do you think he can go to their father named Rag?
But the lad who comes to us with no money. You've no suggestion I buy his clothes, are you?
You're my son, but you're a tight-fisted penny-pinch and miser. Here, boy, here's a figure.
Thank you.
Sit down, laddie. Don't flinch. You'll last longer than that, eh? So, you've been seeing a bit of your grandpa go.
Yes, Grandma.
was thinking about the Union War and how we got a secret north.
The Union War.
He was sitting on an outside spear, a poison spear.
Aye, get some rum, it was. Come on, lad. First thing I'll do is measure you for a new suit. Oh, never fear, boys. It'll make up just grand.
It's the colors, Emma. It's green and those flowers.
You'll not notice the flowers when it's done. Good time now, Robbie.
Come on, Emma.
Where are you going?
To the end of the room.
You're sleeping with me, Robbie, from now on. And there's a thing or two you should know about that man. He's jealous indeed. That man's never set foot 50 miles from here. He's tagged for pennies all his life. Discharged from every situation he's ever held.
Oh, no, no.
He's supported, like you said, by the charity of my son. You can never fear. You're out of his influence now. No, into bed. I've got to get to work on your new suit. And don't forget, boys, the academy opens Monday.
Get home from school, are you, Robbie?
Grandpa, the police are going to school. Do not go back there again.
No, 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 no. The master's been after you, eh? Is it that it, Mr. Reed?
No, Grandpa. It's
too far, boy. Well, now, since Grandma Lexie thinks so much of you, isn't she the one you should be running to?
It's too far. It's your lady.
A green suit with flowers. Lady, you cannot blame the boys for laughing. But on the other hand, you cannot have them laughing at you. Now, you do what I tell you.
Please, Grandpa, I promise.
And who is the strongest, the most stubbornest, and the most independentest boy in the class?
Gavin Blair.
Well, then, you must meet Gavin Blair.
Walter, this man doesn't even belong.
If you want to get on top, you must remove the top men. You'll fight with Gavin Blair, and you'll lick him.
Gavin, of course I can.
Then you must fight with Mr. Reed and implore his protection of my weak little grandson.
No, Gavin, no.
Well, then?
But I don't know how to fight.
What a little boy you are. Here I am. A man who stood toe to toe with Billy the Butcher, winner of the famous 84-round bare-knuckle fight to the finish against Terrible Terry.
You,
Well, no, Billy the Butcher. But who held his coat? Come on, boys. Up with your feet. Chin down, lead to your left. We'll show this Gavin Blair. Aim at my nose now, boy. Aim at my nose.
Go to your nose.
It's all right, lad. It's all right. I permitted your distraction. And now you understand the importance of ducking. Well, come on, Robbie, try it again.
Hello,
Robbie. You?
I'm supposed to Gavin Blair, Grandpa.
Well, I've never seen a finer black eye in heaven.
But, Grandpa, I lost. Gavin, listen.
But obviously you did not run away. Here now, what's this?
It's my green suit.
Oh, dear. But what's that suit you're wearing?
Gavin Blair, he gave it to me.
The boy who licked you?
He took me on after me. He likes me, Grandpa. It was spread all over the place.
Give me that emerald raiment. There, into the grape with it, Robbie, and with the ribbon. Ready, you can receive many a black eye in this life, but if you're a man, you'll not be the loser.
You mean a man already?
I do, aye. You're a man like your own Grandpa, afeard of nothing. You can go your own way, attend your own church, and you can spit in any man's eye.
Robert?
Stand up to her, Robbie. Mind, you're a man, no?
Good work, brother. We're going to fair meeting with. Where did you get that suit? And your eyes? Where did you get that
tattoo? In a fight,
Grandma. What did you do with the burning green, Mr. Felicia?
We burned it. We didn't think Mr. Lackey would like to see it around. Blood on it. Not very sanitary.
And another thing. I'd better see the Grandma from now on.
What's that?
I'm a man now.
This is your work, Mr. Gull, you beast of the field.
You heard what the laddie said. He's a man now. And in that case, madam, I don't think Mr. Lecky would approve of his sleeping in your room.
Oh,
look. Well, no, Robin.
Well, I won't.
What is it you want, Robert? Can't you see I'm reading?
Robbie, dear, the superintendent of sanitation had an attack of golf balls. Now, who knows? One of these days, Papa may be wearing a double brain on his cap. And if that's to happen, Papa must be left to do his study in his place.
We'll talk of it, Summer. 15 shillings.
Robbie, what for?
For money, what?
My burden. My responsibility. You see this book? An encyclopedia of sanitation for which I had to pay 21 shillings. And now you ask me for 15 more.
I need to buy a suit. And we must have one. If you wouldn't tell us, we'll make a 15.
Robert, I've been tolerant. I've let you attend the Church of Rome without interference or reproach. I'm a liberal man. But liberty can go too far. And when it starts costing money, I'm against it.
I'm sorry I bothered you.
I wish I had the money to give you, boy. You see, Robbie, it's a very difficult thing. I live in a house of Mr. Lucky, and I pay no money for the rare privilege. I earn money copying papers for Mr. McKellar, but it all goes to pay my life insurance. I never see a penny of it.
Please, Papa, it is
a strange. But it's important to get the new suit, so you could change your face. Why don't you go to the established church?
Yes, I couldn't.
Your grandma Lucky would just love you if you did. There's no sense taking the hard way.
I believe I was
glad
to be
granted. If you'd said anything else, I'd have disowned you. Robbie, I'm a shameful and irreverent man with little interest in anything. But before I see you done out of your suit, I'll burn the town of Loganport.
Okay, Mr. Dow. A liberal period, is it?
I'm not buying a book, sir. I'm selling one. An encyclopedia of sanitation. I believe Mr. Lucky purchased this for 21 shillings.
He did?
Mr. Lucky says it is not comprehensive enough. He must have his money back.
Oh, there's some news now. I cannot give him more than 17 shillings.
I shall accept 15.
Eh?
It's a matter of justice.
I don't understand.
You don't have to. Take your book, sir, and give me 15 shillings.
You did what, Mr. Dow? You did what with my encyclopedia?
I sold it, Mr. Lucky, for 15 shillings. And then I bought the boy his new suit.
That's robbery. I'll have you arrested.
I was hoping you'd say that, Mr. Lucky. And what would the court say of a civil employee who robs an orphan lad of his tricycle and sells it for 15 shillings?
You deceitful old man.
I've just one more word, and if you ever dare to mention this to Robbie, I'll burn this house down at my first opportunity. Good day, Mr. Lucky.
Well, Robbie, I didn't know I'd find it.
It's 5 years now since I first wrote Miss Diary. There was a flower show in Fair yesterday. Allison C. Chang. Peter, Gavin and I danced with her. It's good to have friends like Gavin and Allison. It's almost June. In 2 weeks I'll be graduated from the academy. The whole family will be there. Even Grandpa says you'll come. It'll be the first time he sat down with Lucky since the story of Jubilee. Lucky,
I'm sorry I bothered
you. And now, parents and friends, as we conclude our graduation exercises, it is with considerable pleasure that I make an award to our outstanding students. In my 11 years at the Academy, not a single student has warranted this prize. Now, at last, Loganport possesses a young scientist, who, I prophesy, someday will be a great doctor. And Mr. Robert Cannon, a special medal in science.
Thank you, Mr. Lindsay.
Good work, Green Breakers. Good luck.
It seems strange, doesn't it? All those years in the academy, and now we're walking home together for the last time.
Well, Gavin, have you already talked to him for 3 minutes?
Aye. Gordon, my father still wants you to come with us to North England.
Listen,
thanks, Gavin, but I can't.
But the farm will be running.
I've got a job starting Monday.
A job?
The boiler works. She's married now, you know. She tells me she can get me into the machine shop.
The boiler works? Oh, Robbie, what's the matter with you?
There's no chance at all. You're coming to the university.
No, Gavin.
When do you leave for North England?
Tomorrow.
Well, here's the news. Good luck to you, Robbie. You too, Alice.
Thanks.
Goodbye, Gavin. I'll write to you.
You're missing me.
Aye.
It's a bunny now.
Aye.
It's a bunny, please. You can never get enough of it. Listen.
Aye.
Put your head over here beside mine. Put my heart. It's such a romantic thing.
Aye.
Aye, they tell me there's a sight of waterfall in that river.
Robbie, isn't there a chance in the world that you can go on with your studies? What's the reason you're going? It's never even occurred to you, Mr. Wooten.
I have obligations, Alice. The Lickies aren't rich.
Well, they're not poor, but they're so poor. I think it's the same. Oh, you're the most exasperating person I ever knew. But you're bound to be a doctor. You know it, Robbie, but no, it's the boiler work. Just because it's interesting.
Oh, to be a doctor. To have a laboratory of my own. Well, at least you're not going away.
No. I'll study my thing here in Loganport for a while anyway.
Rising.
My mother says that in Scotland, not even a moon is visible.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Don't you know? And see the cleverest boy in Loganport?
hour soon.
You were surprised.
I mean, would it be all right? Could I put my arm about you?
Oh, what's the good, Robert?
It is a bony night.
Oh, Robert. A bony night.
In a moment, we'll return with Act Two of The Green Years, starring Charles Coogan, Tom Zirk, Beverly Tyler, and Gene Coleman.
Occasionally, the United States Senate chamber is illuminated by a glimmer of humor. Like the time word reached the Senate that certain interests in Hong Kong were making commercial use of the works of American songwriters without paying the customary composer royalty fees. After investigating, the lawmakers designed a bill to protect Tin Pan Alley. Sponsors of the measure were Senators Russell Long of Louisiana, Hawaii's Hiram Fong, William Fong from Virginia, and Edward Long of Missouri. The legislation was introduced on the Senate floor as the Long Fong Spong Long Hong Kong Song Bill. On another occasion, Congress honored Robert Frost with an award recognizing his contributions to American letters. In presenting a medal to Mr. Frost, the late President Kennedy took note of the unanimous vote on the matter and concluded, "It's the only thing Congress has agreed on for a long time." Two of the lighter moments that really happened on Capitol Hill.
Act Two of The Green Years, starring Charles Coogan as Grandfather Gow, Tom Zirk as Wilbur, Beverly Tyler as Allison, and Hugh Cronin as Mr. Lucky. For a month now, Robert Shannon has labored in the boiler works at Logansburg. But one night, grimy and tired, he meets a friend as he leaves the factory. 10 minutes later, breathless and excited, he bursts into Allison's house.
Robert, what is it?
I just saw him, Allison. Mr. Reed. Oh, you don't know what's happened. He's arranged for me to sit for the marshal. The marshal stole his trip. I've been studying medicine, Allison.
Oh, Robert.
Well, I haven't won it yet. I can't win it, it's impossible, but I can try. Oh, Allison.
Robert, I don't know if you're kissing me, but I can see your face with a leap of pinhead. No, I don't. It's such a wonderful thing.
I didn't know what I was doing. Excited. Goodbye, Allison. I'll see you later.
I'm going to tell you how much.
100 pounds a year. For 5 years, Mama.
What's this paper, Robbie?
And Mr. Lee gave it to me for you to sign. Your permission for me to try for the scholarship.
Robbie, you must understand something well.
I've never had an easy time of it.
Murdoch, after all, has spent his education works in that nursery raising flowers. No more money for board from Grandma Letty since she's gone to Kilmarnock. No financial aid from Katie now she's married, and Grandpa Gow is still upstairs with an appetite like a growing boy. Even Adam. Adam, my own son, a great, successful man in London, owing me £50 for 12 years now.
He'll pay.
He'll pay indeed. Mama, I've resolved. I'm going to London. I'll collect that £50 if it takes the whole 4 weeks of my holiday to do it.
We were speaking of a scholarship, Papa.
I cannot let you go for 5 years more without a penny return for the support of the house.
No, I won't have it. I won't have it. You must let him. You can't kill Robbie's life and hopes for a few pennies from the boiler works.
Mama, you spoke of money.
I'm doing this for your own good, Robbie.
You're reaching above your station in life, and you'll reach not the disappointment. No, I can't sign the paper.
Come in.
Are you Mr. Jason Reed?
I am. Sit down, Mr. Gow.
Mr. Reed, I'm not merely Robert Shannon's great-grandfather. I'm a defender of the rights of man. I tell you, sir, when a man thinks low enough to deny these rights, I protect. And if you are among these worms who would deny the boy an education, I tell you I shall not stand by and countenance such a sin.
And I must tell you, Mr. Dow, that the laddie cannot be entered for the scholarship only because Mr. Lecky had denied permission.
Then we'll enter him on the quiet.
The entry must be signed by his guardian.
I'll sign it.
Mr. Dow, have you lost your wit?
I still have the wit to sign my own name.
Under that fool Lecky's nose?
I'll send Lecky away. I might even send him to London.
This is the most unbelievable and dangerous nonsense I've ever heard. But I'm with your heart and soul. Here. Take these books, Robbie. Let him start with these till Lecky goes to London. Now, off with you.
Mr. Reed, with a mind like ours, we'll tear him to pieces.
Oh, Robbie, I'm going to London this summer. I've made up my mind.
Oh, Mama.
And you have nothing to interfere with your studying for the scholarship, because I'll see to it you'll come back till the middle of August.
Mama, good told
you. Never mind. Good luck, Robbie, dear.
so tired, Mr. Reed. I've studied so long. I've read so much. I swear I don't know anything now.
I haven't even begun. All right, now mathematics. What is the conic section?
The intersection of a plane with a cone.
Clumsy. What's the formula for the surface of a sphere? All right, boys. Come now, take that pencil. Take the growth of industrial Europe. Causes, effects. Think, boys, think. Distinguish between density and specific gravity. Between kinetic and potential energy. What were Newton's three laws of motion? Think.
Describe the chief product of a donor's value.
What to do? Oh. The examination starts tomorrow. What to do? According to Mr. Reed, only second grader studied the last minute.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, come along. We're going to take a long walk. You and I and the when did the train leave, Logan?
Can I get into the cart? But I'll be back tomorrow night.
All the examinations in one day?
No, I'll get back to Glasgow Sunday. Then physics on Monday. Allison, what will you do when you grow up?
I told you that once, long ago. I'll marry a fine man and have many fine children. What do you do?
Would you say we're grown up now?
No, Rody. Not quite yet.
Allison.
Please, Rody. I think perhaps you'd better concentrate on the declining style of the Roman Empire.
All I can keep in mind is how much I want to kiss you.
Then perhaps you'd better kiss me, Rody. A faith. Oh, my Rody. You'll win the scholarship. You will. I love it.
Telegram from Glasgow University. Well, tell me.
History?
92%. You missed only one question in geometry. Roby, you know what this means.
We know.
Still got the examination on Monday, but I swear to you on the basis of what you've done, if you only get 50% in physics, you'll win the market. Mr. Gow, you wouldn't have a drink in the house.
Not until Monday.
Now, what about that cop, Roby?
Oh, it's just a cold. He's a wee bit warm on the side.
Well, I'll stop by the doctor. I've got the rest now anyway. Goodbye, Roby.
Goodbye. He'd best stay in bed. Is that it, Doctor?
None of your that. He will get this prescription to the chemist right away.
Robbie has examinations Monday and Thursday. You think by then...
The temperature's 104. Mr. Gallagher's grandson's on the verge of pneumonia.
How are you feeling, Robbie?
Oh, I'm fine, Mr. Reed. The doctor said I could go out today. 10 days I've been in bed now.
Yes, sir, I know. Robbie, I wrote to the university. I asked if you might take your examination when you've recuperated.
Mr. Reed, why didn't you tell me?
Because they've refused. I went myself to Glasgow yesterday. I went down on my knees to them. If there's any consolation, they've ranked you second.
Thank you, sir.
I begged them to give you an average on your physics, but no, they're ruled by, guided by rules, not by justice. Well, you're young, something else will turn up. Allison's here, she wants to see you.
Logan.
Take care, laddie.
Allison. You know.
Yes, Robert, but there's more bad news. Gavin Gale.
But what's happened?
If he was coming to see you, Robert, he'd hide in the air. He was running for the train. He slipped. He said that.
Dead? Gavin?
Robert, where are you going? Robert!
Something. You have your faith in anything to happen. It will happen out of nowhere and you make no sense. Is it likely he'd miss it in U.S. stores? As a matter of fact, he's coming as my guest on his money. As a music lover of long standing, I shall never allow myself to miss a rendition of Hamlet's Messiah.
Handel's Messiah?
Well, that's what I said.
Grandfather, there's a famous teacher coming to the concert.
If he likes my voice, Mother will insist on my going to the conservatory in Edinburgh. Oh, I don't want to go, Grandpa. I don't want to leave Rosie.
You'll be coming back, Leslie.
But he's the one that should be studying, not I. Oh, Grandpa, what a fine doctor he could be. And when I think of him down at that boiler works,
I... There's things, Leslie, that no one can stop, good or bad.
But what about Rosie?
Don't tell him until the concert's over. You know, who knows? Perhaps you'll make such an eternal mess of it, there'll be nothing to worry about.
It was like an angel, Allison. You're singing tonight. Oh, it never so proud.
Brother, he's so pretty.
I...
Brother, I...
Oh, you needn't say it. Grandpa told me. You're going away.
Dr. Edinburgh.
Oh, you'll go further than that?
No, Rosie, no.
I heard you sing tonight.
Then I'll not leave here at all.
Oh, you must.
Oh, Rosie, stay the wind. I'll keep you out of here.
How can I talk? How could I?
Do you love me, don't you? But you love me and put me on you.
What would I be doing to you if I'm out of here? I know my place. Whether I'm suited or not, whether I choose it or not, I have a place at the boiler works. And I'm not scared of you. Oh, Alison. If I loved you less, it might be different. You're young. I suppose we'll get over it.
I may be young for you. I'm likewise tired. Would you take me home, Rose?
Robbie, come in. We've been looking all over for you.
Papa.
Dr. Gilfrey.
Mama, Robbie. She's very ill.
Happened so sudden.
Her heart and body can tolerate just so much wear and tear, Robbie.
Worn out. That's what she is. Worn out. She knows nothing I can do. It's in God's hands now.
Robbie, I'll be in my room, Papa.
And you'll pray for her, Robbie. Light the candle by your shrine. Pray for her, Robbie.
Okay. I've doubted you will do it. Forgive me. Promise me, Lord, but not Mama. Never doubted it. All that in the world can see. I ask you. I make this bargain. Let her live and I'll never doubt again. Never.
Robbie, she's gone, Lassie. She's gone and left.
Robert, is that you, Robert Shannon?
Yes, hello.
I was just coming to your house, Red. I heard Mrs. Leslie was in.
She's dead.
God rest her. Robert, what's that to mean?
All my life I've worn this. But I'm throwing away now. I'm weary and nettled.
This may be God's way of testing you or showing you the way you must go.
What way?
Into the priesthood, my son.
If God didn't want me to be a doctor, it's too late to oblige him by being a priest.
It's never too late to turn to God.
I don't believe in God.
But God believes in you, Robert.
I don't believe in God anymore.
In a moment, we return with the third act of The Green Year, starring Charles Coogan, Tom Drake, Beverly Tyler, and Hume Cronin.
Patriotic songs, cheer-up songs, satirical songs, and of course, tender songs. One of the greatest songs to come out of World War I falls into the last category, the ballad, Till We Meet Again, written by Richard Whiting. When he first wrote the song, he was so dissatisfied that he threw it away. Fortunately, his wife had faith in her husband's ability, so she received the manuscript and sent it off to the publisher. Since that time, the song has sold more than 11 million copies in one form or another. Whiting had other famous offsprings, of course. Sleepy Time Gal, Ain't We Got Fun, Louise, popularized by Maurice Chevalier. Not to mention his own vocalist offspring, Margaret Whiting. But it's Till We Meet Again that they've left with Marshall on the musical and non-musical world. So aptly was the British business of Parliament, captured by Richard Whiting.
Mr. Cooley at the microphone.
Act three of The Green Year, starring Charles Coburn as Grandfather Gow, Tom Drake as Roby, Beverly Tyler as Allison, and Jim Cronin as Mr. Lucky. All in a few months, Robert Shannon's modest world has crashed down about him. One disaster after another. Morose now in silence, ignoring everyone, even Grandfather Gow, Robert works on him a fine day. Sharing a word for his family, only when he comes home at night for supper.
You're late, Roby.
Am I?
It doesn't send up in the old age to have to come back here. No, I must care for a handful of men who come late to me. There's Mother.
We won't wait for him, will he?
And that old man upstairs, what of him?
I'll take him his place.
No, you're not. He eats downstairs with the rest of us, or he'll not eat at all.
Sit down. You're late, Mother.
Where's Grandpa?
He's in his room.
Are you sure? Look at this.
Grandpa's hat, Tyler's hat. Found floating on the common pond.
I'll look upstairs.
Grandpa!
They found his coat by the footbridge. Don't you see him, lad?
I don't recollect Murdoch. The man avoids me. The common pond, did you say? Murdoch, is it possible?
I say anything is possible the way he's been taken.
Good, Roby. Well, Fred's not been touching
you. Saw my nagging him day and night, and you threatened to send him to the workhouse.
Workhouse? Papa wouldn't do that.
And what do you know about it? When have you been home, safe to eat and sleep?
Well, I support him. I pay his keep. Papa's got no right.
Well, you pay your keep, but you're treating like a stranger. Like you treat everybody since Allison went away.
Murdoch, you think he...
Why would he wish to live any longer? No, he's been after the misery of this occasion. He's been looking forward to the flower show and the fair. He thinks my coronation's for his own. I just don't know.
Well, I do. There's no secret. We must wire for Adam. First thing, devoted to the old man he was. And he knows all about the insurance.
Robbie, where are you going, boy?
I'm going out. You'll send that telegram for me.
I'll send it, Papa.
If I don't find him.
Another day, no sign of him yet. Oh. So you came, Adam.
I'm glad to see you, Roby.
No trace at all, Roby.
I've looked everywhere, Kate.
He was a fine man, a lovely man.
We're hoping Grant is still alive, Adam.
The insurance will be paid, Papa. Cash on the spot.
Oh, Roby, how my heart breaks for you.
I was just saying, Mrs. Boothamley, a finer man never breathed.
He had his fault. A weakness or two. But what of that?
Why don't you say what you're really thinking?
That he's worth more to you dead than alive. I'm shocked with you, Roby. Where's your manners?
Papa, Mr. McKellar's here.
Oh, Lawyer McAllister, come in, come in.
The police, just inside the door here, Mr. Lucky. They'd like to speak to you.
The police?
Aye, they found Gandhi Gow. He's been in jail. Bring him in, Constable.
It's Grandpa.
In jail?
Mr. Gow. Mr. Gow, you're intoxicated.
I am, Mr. Lucky. Robbie Ladd and Mrs. Boothamley. He walks in beauty like the night. Of cloudless times and starry skies.
Quite a thing. Under, sir.
Dear family and friends, and you, Madam Lucky, forgive me. Robbie, are you not coming with me?
Oh, Grandpa.
In a body, in a body, coming through the light. In a body.
Good morning, Grandpa.
Here, your medicine. Why can't you content yourself with beating me to death? Now get out of my way. I'm not getting this.
You're staying in bed.
Do you think there's going to be a flower show and there's a love and a fair in Logansford and me not in attendance?
You know what the book has said.
You know, it's words like the last one you'll need to make it. That will be an embarrassing meeting for both of us.
And, Grandpa, you've got to keep off the whiskey.
On my honor as a gentleman, Robbie, why, I've not had a drop for days.
Except for that bottle under the mattress.
Eh?
No, I'll stay home with you, Grandpa.
Go on.
No.
Go on and enjoy yourself.
No, I'll keep you company. I won't go.
If you stay in this house, I'll never speak to you again. Get out. Just leave me here to die all by myself.
Look, Papa. It's Grandpa. Marching there with the home guard. And it is here. Mr. Zell. Here. And contrary to my explicit instructions. And look. Take a note of his shoes. A whiskey bottle. Oh, that man. That wretched man.
Bobby, I'll take care of him, Papa.
Allison. Allison, what are you doing here? Away from Edinburgh.
He'd answered my letter and he wouldn't know more about me.
Well, anyway, I'm glad you're back.
It's only for the day. I couldn't miss the train.
Neither could Grandpa.
Is he here?
Yes, and I've got to find him. Allison, what can I see in a few minutes?
I'll be here, Rosie.
I'll get Grandpa and take him to move back.
I'll be right back.
Step up. Have a glass with your grandpa's friend.
Grandpa, put your glass down, come here. Grandpa, Allison's here.
Aye?
Can I touch you just for a few minutes?
Why, that is for eternity.
Grandpa, how do you do it?
Do what?
I'm 18 years old. Compared to you, I'm an old man. How do you do it, Grandpa? I'd like to know.
You're in the green years, Robbie. You suffer the critical disease of being young. The Lord deliver me from ever having to go through that again. Well, go on, find your lassie. I'll not budge me.
No, we'll go to Murdoch. Let us go at the flower exhibit.
Get me one of Murdoch's carnations, Robbie, will you? I don't feel well.
You won't do me the favor?
Robbie, I'd like to. I'd like to, laddie, but I don't think I can. Robbie. Robbie.
Grandpa.
Grandpa!
You, Robert Cannon. I knew one day you'd be back in church again. You dead, Father Roach? You dead, Father Roach?
Yes, Dad. I hear.
You're the man of many colleagues. But you've been capable of doing it. You never died when you were gone. You could do things because you enjoy doing them. What do you think of God who understood my great grandfather? And forgive me.
He will forgive you.
I should like to pray with you, Robert.
Grandma Letty, Papa, Katie, Murdoch. Well, now that we're home, I want you to know that I think it was a fine funeral. A fine funeral.
Oh, will you? Talk to Adam.
Hush, girl. Yes, Adam. Expenses.
For Katie.
May I come in?
Ah, Mr. McKellar, make yourself comfortable.
I don't leave, Ruby.
Yes, this hardly concerns him.
We're about to take up the matter of the will. If you'll excuse me.
I want the entire family first.
Now, according to my figures, the insurance comes to a matter of £658.12.06.
And the round number.
Exactly. We must say it, Papa. He was a fine man.
Why?
Sitting, Robert. You respected him before he died. You might respect him now.
I'm going to read the will.
There is no need, sir. We all know what's in it. It's a very simple document.
He left all he possessed, the insurance, that is, to your late wife. And in the event of her death, to her executor, yourself.
That's proper.
There's a codicil, however. The codicil was drawn shortly after Robert Cannon failed his examination for the university. Sandy Gow left everything he possessed to Robert Cannon.
He was insane.
He was as sane as I am, saner.
But he couldn't do that. It's not legal.
He couldn't legally put your own papa and I'm dead.
I'll take it to law. I'll take it to law. I'll take it to law.
Don't say, Miss Dorothy, I'll do so, and I promise you I'll fight you in the county court. I'll fight you in the high court. I'll fight you to the floor of Parliament itself.
Robert, it was Dandy Gow's fate that you'd tender so wisely on your education. But I seem to mind him saying, a sort of afterthought it was, that if you preferred to invest it in wine, women, and song, that was your privilege.
Oh,
At last, I stand before thee. The great gates of the University of Glasgow.
Give me your hand.
My hand.
Now walk in, Lord, through those gates, Ruby. Walk into your future, Ruby.
I'm sure you'll agree the Green Years is a four-star hit.
Thanks to Charles Coburn, Tom Drake, Beverly Tyler, and Ewan Coleman.
Well, it's a lovely story to work with, Bill.
And we've had a great cast. Beverly and Tom have certainly won their spurs with fine performance.
Not to mention young Dean Shuttle.
Well, we had a wonderful chance to learn a lot from Mr. Coburn.
Well, I feel getting loose.
Well, we've got to say good night, Bill. Best wishes.
Good night. Good night and all our thanks. This is William Keeley, saying good night to you from Hollywood.